Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Get behind me, Satan. Can you imagine hearing those words directed at you? Imagine if someone that you loved and cared about dearly had said that to you. Picture perhaps your mother or your best friend saying stern and deathly seriously, "Get behind me, Satan." How disheartened, how utterly crushed you would feel. How much more so if it was your God and Lord saying those words to you. Jesus spoke those words to Peter, his disciple who loved him dearly. Imagine then Peter's shock and dismay at hearing his beloved Lord rebuke him in this harsh way. But he had it coming. In the verses just before our gospel reading today, which we heard in the gospel reading from last Sunday, Peter had just made the great confession of faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior whom God had promised to send to redeem God's people. Yet when Jesus then began to speak plainly to them about what exactly was in store for him as he fulfilled that role of Christ and Savior, Peter rebuked him. Jesus spoke of his imminent suffering, his rejection, and even his death. He spoke about these things plainly, without reluctance or reticence. But that went against everything that Peter had envisioned as the glorious earthly future for his Lord and himself. Perhaps Peter had envisioned Jesus establishing an earthly kingdom in Israel, driving the conquering and occupying Roman Empire and their armies out of the land, and that Peter would be right at Jesus' side, enjoying all the glory and attention. Despite Peter's confession of Jesus as the Christ, Peter did not understand and could not accept the destination of Jesus on the cross, and that the life of the Christian is also to deny oneself and take up the cross. We all deserve that same harsh condemnation together with Peter. Get behind me, Satan. You are a snare to me because you are not thinking the things of God, but the things of men. We have all rebelled against the things of God. Who of us can say that we have always borne the crosses in our lives willingly, much less joyfully? Who of us have not desired, as Peter did, to cast aside all the burdens and difficulties in our lives and instead to take the broad and easy road through life, even though we know where that road ends? Have you ever, just for a moment, wished that Jesus had been a different kind of Messiah, a different kind of Savior? Have you ever wished that Jesus had not been so insistent on undergoing rejections, suffering, and death? Have you ever wished that Jesus had not been so insistent that you follow him in that same manner, denying your own will and taking up your cross, even to the point of suffering, rejection, and even death? Jesus rightly rebukes all of us because in our lives we often are not thinking about the things of God, but instead about the things of men. Jesus does not mince words when he speaks about the reality of the Christian life. No, he is very blunt. He says, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Today, Christians do not, at least in America, do not often bear the cross to physical persecution or death, but perhaps more commonly to scorn and mockery, to rejection and humiliation. To human logic, we think that if God loves us so much, why wouldn't he just take all of the suffering and trouble out of our lives? So when we do suffer, this can cause us to doubt God's love. Or unbelievers might mock us for keeping our faith in God, even though we continue to have troubles in our lives as believers. Or we might be tempted to listen to the preachers of the prosperity gospel, whose message implies that if we are not totally healthy, wealthy, and successful in our lives, it must be because there is something wrong with our faith. If it were up to us to bear our crosses by our own power, in the face of all these doubts and attacks, we would certainly fail. And indeed, we do fail daily as we try to bear our crosses with the best of intentions, but so often by our own efforts alone. But Jesus does not randomly assign this task to us and then leave us to accomplish it by ourselves. Rather, Jesus gave himself for us. Jesus was perfect in suffering, perfect in bearing the cross. He went to the cross. He went to death willingly, not complaining about all the miserable human beings who caused him to have to suffer because of their sins. He went to the cross in love for you and for me. And now God wraps us up, covers us in that perfect obedience of his Son, using that perfect obedience of Jesus to cover over our disobedience and to cover over the times that we have obeyed, but with less than proper and enthusiastic motivation. Jesus' blood that he shed on the cross has washed away all of our sins. Sins of desiring the things of men, the things of this world, instead of the things of God. Jesus' blood has paid for all of the times when we wanted the comfortable life rather than the life of following him and his will in all things. So now, our power for bearing the crosses in this life comes from Christ, from his perfect life, from his suffering and death, and from his resurrection, which is the seal and assurance of our salvation. Jesus spoke plainly to his disciples, not only about the coming suffering that he was about to undergo, but also about the victory. Jesus did not say that he must suffer and be killed and be buried in the ground only to rot and be forgotten. Rather, he said that he must suffer and be killed and on the third day be raised again to life. Jesus knew that he had to suffer the cross, but he looked beyond the cross to the empty tomb. That is what he wanted his disciples to see. And that is what he wants each of us to see as well. The Christian's cross is inevitable in this life. And without the cross of Christ, our crosses are impossible to bear. But Jesus points us to his empty tomb, because through him and through his promises, we are able to bear the crosses of our lives, whatever form they may take, with the assurance that Jesus himself is right there with us, bearing them together with us. Amen.